Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today I am really excited about this episode. We're going to be talking about personal branding. Our guest today is Alyssa Gelbart. Alyssa is the founder and president of Point Road Group, a global personal branding and career consulting firm that helps executives market themselves to achieve their career goals. Point Road Group also partners with companies for customized programs and presentations. Alyssa is an accidental entrepreneur, and her unique perspective as a personal branding and career expert stems from a background in strategic marketing and branding, as well as extensive experience hiring and managing staff throughout her career. Welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Thanks, Guy. Excited to be here.
Pleasure having you here. So before we get started, tell us a little bit more about your background and how you got into personal branding as a personal branding consultant.
Sure. So as you said, Guy, I'm an accidental entrepreneur, and I started my career in strategic marketing and branding, and worked in sports marketing and technology consulting after business school. And what happened was I was always hiring and managing teams. And people would come to me that I knew, you know, colleagues, friends, and say, oh, you're always hiring people. Could you look at my resume? Or they'd ask for career advice. And I would give them guidance on how they should market themselves for their next job. And at the same time, I'm also a connector, so I'd say, oh, you're interested in X, you know, you should go talk to so-and-so. And at the same time, within the companies I was working for, when people were interested in hiring for positions that weren't sort of very, very obvious, they would come to me for advice, and I would kind of be an unofficial internal consultant, you know, for hiring. And so what I didn't realize was I was sowing the seeds for my company, and because I just enjoyed doing it, it was fun. And what happened was, as I progressed through my career, it became, you know, wasn't just friends asking, it became friends of friends or colleagues. And I realized, you know, I had something going on here. So, you know, I hung out a shingle and I had the business, you know, on the side. And what I think made it unique and what still makes us unique today is when we help people to try to move their careers forward and increase their professional visibility, we do it from a marketing and branding angle always. And so, you know, that was what I was doing back then. And then, you know, what we continue to do. And, as the business grew on the side, I realized, you know, I had something here. And once I gave it some attention, I realized it was something I really wanted to do because I could marry my background, as well as help people and then help companies as well, because we do work on the company side too. And, you know, and flip the switch, I think it was almost 6 years ago now, to do it full time. And that's where we are today. But the business started about 15 years ago.
That's a great story. So let's talk a little about personal branding. Obviously, it's becoming more and more important. You know, in the past, professionals used to stay at one company throughout their whole careers. But in today's world, you see people, you know, jumping from job to job or switching careers midway. So obviously, building your personal brand is super important. Talk to us a little bit about personal branding and why it is so important in today's business world.
Absolutely. It's obviously one of my favorite topics, so I can talk about this for days, but I won't you know, talk for hours for the whole podcast here. So personal branding. So, you know, in general, I was thinking about this recently when I was looking at the origin of it, because, you know, years back, people didn't talk about personal branding. It was just kind of how you marketed yourself or how you promoted yourself. And then the phrase, you know, the phrase has been around for a long time, actually. It was, I believe it was Tom Peters in his book, In Search of Excellence, who coined the phrase for the first time. And I laugh about it because I remember I read that book in business school and loved it. And so it's kind of a little ironic now. So personal branding is, you know, it's how you represent yourself. It's what people think about you before they meet you, after they meet you. It's your professional reputation. And really importantly, and this is something we talk about a lot, is it's who you are in person and online. And it has a lot of components. It's not just it's certainly not a tagline or a phrase. That's not your brand. Your brand is kind of all encompassing. And, you know, the types of things, just to kind of give you top line, what it can include is, you know, when we talk about the in-person piece, it's your interaction at meetings and events. It's not just what you say, it's your body language, how you engage, what you wear, your, you know, your presence on the phone. And then it's kind of on the written side, you know, your email communication and response time. It's your LinkedIn profile. And if you have bio and resume, and if you're on social media and content you write, you know, and on and on and on. But those are all things that represent who you are kind of as a professional and your professional reputation. And the thing that's really important about personal branding is that for the most part, you really control the messaging of it. So it's up to you to determine, you know, what is my brand and how am I communicating it? And very importantly, when we talk about branding, you know, it kind of goes back to the building blocks of branding, which is making sure that you have the right message and that it's also consistent. So then when people encounter you in different ways, you know, whether it's at a meeting, at a conference, they see your LinkedIn profile, anything like that, that they're getting a consistent picture of who you are. And, you know, the big things and the little things matter with your personal brand, because it all impacts impressions that you make and ongoing impressions, not just that first impression, but, you know, lasting ones. And, you know, it's fluid. It's certainly not something static, and your brand develops over time as you develop and change over time. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, kind of people want to know, well, why is it so important? And it's really important to every professional, no matter what stage you are in and what you're doing, because it impacts opportunities, whether it's developing professional relationships, landing new clients, you know, establishing referral partners or strategic partnerships, landing a new job or a board seat, or, you know, just elevating your professional presence among your colleagues or vendors, you know, and on and on. And it also, having a strong personal brand also benefits your firm or your company as well. So
I love it. And, you know, I really like something you said, which is something I think sometimes people, especially accomplished people, forget about. And that is, you know, your personal brand is your in-person brand, but also your online brand. And mm-hmm. I frequently come across senior attorneys or, you know, partners at firms that say, well, you know, I'm one of the leading experts in this and that. But if you look at their online persona, it's either non-existent or severely lacking. So I think that's definitely something that, you know, more and more people and professionals at any level really have to focus on. So I guess the question is, if someone decides that they want to optimize their personal brand, what are some of the key areas that they should focus on first? What would be your recommendations?
Yeah. And by the way, I totally agree with you about people, you know, being at the top of their game, but their presence lacking. So, yeah. So I would say, you know, first off, before you kind of take the step to take action, you want to do a quick assessment of your brand itself and think about, you know, how you think you're viewed and then how you're actually viewed. And the way I suggest doing this is you could just ask a few people you trust for feedback. You know, and get some, because you may find there's other words or things that they, you know, say about you. And it's not, you know, and when I say this, it's not like people are going to give you all this negative feedback, but it's usually positive things about yourself that you didn't realize that people think about you. And it may be your online presence too, the negative side of the chart. But, and the other thing is Googling yourself, you know, kind of getting a sense of, you know, what people are seeing. When they, you know, and if there is, if the right message is not getting put out there, then you have to figure out a way to fill the gap. Then, you know, to start optimizing that and filling the gap. So the first would be, like you said, LinkedIn, because that's the easiest. It's the lowest hanging fruit to fix for so many of us. If you Google yourself, you know, your LinkedIn profile comes up first and you get to control everything that's there. No one else controls what's on your profile. So it's really important to update that. And you know, there's certain sections that you should absolutely do no matter what. And we can get into that later if you want. But I think another thing that you should update is your bio, especially on your, if you have a bio on your firm website and other places too, because you don't want to have an inconsistent message about, you know, if someone reads an updated LinkedIn profile, but then they see this bio that positions you in a different way, that's going to create a question in someone's mind. And a third thing that I think is also an easy thing, but yet not easy, is thinking about how you introduce yourself. Because so that sounds easy, but it actually takes a lot of time and effort. And so many of us default to, you know, our name, our title, our company or firm, and that's it. But there's a lot of other things you can say very, very briefly that only maybe take a second more that give people much more insight into who you are as a professional. And I find that there's that basic how you introduce yourself, and then there's that next level of conversation. And what I've found with, you know, a lot of the attorneys that we work with is it's either way too top line where you really can't get a sense of anything else about them, or it goes immediately into the weeds, into detail, and then people's eyes kind of glaze over because you're already, you know, getting way too much. So I think those are some good areas to start with.
So can you give us an example of that sort of in between that you said a couple of extra things that would help to introduce yourself? I'm curious as to what your take is on that.
Sure. So I'll use me as an example because that's the easiest. So, you know, I could say, hi, I'm Elisa Gelbard. I'm the president of Point Road Group. Okay. You know, that gives you a little bit of information. Or I could say, hi, I'm Elisa Gelbard. I'm a personal branding expert and executive career consultant and the president of Point Road Group. And just those two other phrases, maybe I use one, maybe I use both, you know, but there's sort of three little pieces there that it's maybe a half a second more, and it gives you so much more information about me. So if you're an attorney, it could be, you know, what you specialize in and your firm versus just I'm an attorney at, because very often, you know, and especially if you're at a smaller firm that maybe people haven't heard of, then the name isn't going to, you know, there's not going to be that recognition. So giving them a little bit more information can help take the conversation quickly to the next level.
I think that's so key. You know, one of the things I try to do, and I talk to our clients sometimes, is it's not always about who you are and who you work for, or even what title you have, but it's more conveying the information of who you actually work with, right? Like I work with lawyers, or I work with professionals that are looking to enhance their personal brand, or, you know, giving them more information about how you help people. That I find sometimes is really useful, and it sort of provides an introduction without sounding overly salesy, which I think is something that a lot of attorneys struggle with. So speaking about sounding salesy, I find that a lot of attorneys and other professionals are very concerned. They don't want to sound too self-promotional. So what are some ways that you can avoid sounding self-promotional or salesy?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think most people don't want to sound that way. And that's the fear. So then the idea of marketing and yourself and, you know, your personal brand, people tend to say, well, I don't want to do that because I don't want to be salesy. So I think it's a great, great question. So I think, you know, it's sort of building on something that you touched on about making about them. So, you know, you want to think about when you're communicating with anybody in this case is it's about developing a relationship. It's not all about you. It's about, you know, learning about the other person and listening and how can you be helpful to them and, you know, and then adding in some information about what you do and how, who you work with and how you can be helpful. And I think you want to be able to say the kinds of problems you help solve and the value that you bring to a client. So you're talking about yourself, but in the context of solving someone's problem or helping a client in a way that, you know, if there's something that makes you unique, to communicate it that way versus, you know, just coming off as this is what I do and essentially, you know, sounding like you're looking for a client or referral. I think another thing too is to show personality and not be focused on some sort of formulaic sales pitch that you read about somewhere that you were told to say. You know, it's about conversation, not about a pitch. I think that's the key. When people think sales, they think pitch, and it's really conversation to develop a relationship. And to increase your visibility to do this, one of the key ways is networking, kind of what we're talking about, you know, having a conversation and being selective of where you're going and who you're networking with, you know, not going into an environment where, you know, people are just going to try to sell themselves and, you know, and that's it. And you don't want to sound robotic again, or rehearsed. There's a difference between being rehearsed and prepared versus sounding like you're kind of spitting back something that you memorized. And it's quality people, it's not quantity. One of my colleagues who I love that he, this expression, and that he's just been saying it for years, and it just always makes me smile, is when you are looking to have these conversations to increase your visibility, it's not about meeting as many people as you can and collecting baseball cards. You know, it's just, it's the quality. It just needs to be that one person. And you want to go into these situations thinking about give and take, because you'll sound salesy if it's just all about you and it's a one-sided conversation. But you won't sound nearly as salesy as if you're listening, you know, you're still getting that, the point that you want to get across at some point during the conversation, but it is a conversation and it's back and forth. You know, LinkedIn is obviously another place to increase your visibility and, you know, not just updating your profile, but engaging with content in, you know, posting, liking, sharing, commenting, at mentions, you know, all of those things, which obviously we could, that could be a whole nother podcast.
yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah, there really is. And it's just such an easy tool to help with visibility and connection. And I think the last thing probably when it comes to visibility, just, you know, is if you in other places where you are professionally, aside from your firm or your company, is, you know, if you do volunteer work, if you serve on a board, make sure you're speaking up at meetings, and even internally too, make sure you're speaking up at meetings. But, and if there's an opportunity to lead something, an initiative, a committee, something that will enable you to have more visibility, perhaps in a group where you're a part of the group, but maybe you've kind of flown a little bit below the radar screen, that's a good area too.
You mentioned speaking up, and I think that's really, really important. But a lot of lawyers that I come across, and I'm sure it's the same with you, they're sort of introverts. They don't necessarily like to network. They don't feel comfortable in public speaking. You know, what recommendations would you have for those types of people that really, you know, are more introverted and they don't necessarily like social settings?
Right. Well, I think there's a misconception that people who are good at networking are extroverts. They don't have to be. I think the key there is it's about self-confidence and getting comfortable in networking. I think a lot of people have this, also have this negative view of networking. You know, people often even make a face, you know, I'm sure you could visualize that when people say networking, oh, I don't want to do it. And like you said, and people who are introverts, they're going to make even, you know, probably a stronger face. And I think it's kind of flipping the way you think about it and first thinking about networking as I'm going to go meet some quality people. I may meet one person, I may meet three, I may meet five, who knows, but I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to meet people. And the confidence part is really, I think, the hardest part to get over. And that means very often, it's not so much that I'm an introvert. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to say. I'm not sure how I should act. Where am I supposed to stand? Who am I supposed to talk to? For how long? What's the etiquette? You know, all those questions. And that, I think, impacts people's confidence. If you don't network, going with someone who does and who can explain and give you the, you know, the pointers can be incredibly helpful. But the key is, so if you go with somebody, you know, you can't hold on to their arm the whole time. You have to be able to kind of leave the nest, but then you, it's okay to come back too. It's nice to have that kind of place to come back to, especially if you're doing it early stage and you're not so comfortable with it. But go with somebody you know, have them in who can help you and ask for help, because people will be a lot more open to do that versus just kind of throw you out there and see what happens. I also think
so,
that when...
So sort of like the buddy system.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah, I like
and
it.
And the same thing happens though... Yeah, and the same thing happens though if you go to an event where you see somebody you know. You don't want to just stay with them the whole time. Or another thing that also happens is, you know, you meet somebody and you're having a great conversation. So you're like, okay, I'm that one person. I'm just going to stay with them the whole time. It's okay for that. But then, you know, you want to get out there. And you could also, if you're not comfortable meeting new people, you're fine in a social setting when it's people you know, but maybe it's the fact that you don't like to go up and introduce yourself to someone. So, you know, tell somebody that you're with, you know, hey, I'd like to meet a few people, you know, would you mind, you know, and then someone will do that as well. Now that's kind of one part about it. I'll tell you my best recommendations for how to meet people if you don't like walking up to someone. Go to a bar or a food line at, you know, at an event. And this is, I'm talking about an event where those type of situations, you know, where they have the stations, because you have a built-in way to meet someone either in front or behind you or to your right or left. And you can, it's always okay in networking to start with small talk to, and then segue into something else. It's not, it's perfectly fine to do that. So that to me is the easiest way, because you're just there. You have a common goal, either to get a drink or something to eat. So, you know, you can start chit chatting that way. Another thing that you could do if you are not so comfortable on the networking front is also make sure you're super prepared for the situation that you're going in. So you can jump into a conversation that you know if you're going to hear a speaker, or if it's at a certain venue, or there's a firm or a company sponsoring the event, know a little bit about them so you don't feel like you're going in blind, because that then will impact your confidence again. So it just kind of, you know, it can help. And the one thing I would say, though, above all, is if you're not comfortable with networking and you're just starting to dip your toe in, do not take out your phone. That is the worst thing you could do, because people will not come up to you. And, you know, we've all developed this way of, you know, it's our crutch. And if we're bored, if we're, you know, not feeling so confident, we just take out our phone. And you can't do that when you're trying to meet people. So, you know, just resist the urge.
I love it. So let me ask you one more question. Obviously, there's a lot of attorneys out there, and a lot of them, you know, they practice the same thing that other attorneys do. So from a personal branding perspective, what's the best way to differentiate yourself from other attorneys who, you know, do what you do or in your same practice area? What tips do you have for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think there's a couple things that you can do. So first kind of goes back to something we were talking about earlier, which is being able to, you know, talk about the kinds of problems you solve and the value you bring to clients and what makes you unique, but being able to do it concisely and clearly, that will give you a leg up, you know, no doubt, because the vast majority of people can't do that. And when they do say something that's on the more concise side, it often does not sound genuine. So making it sound conversational. I think some other things that you can do is make sure that you really listen carefully when you're meeting, you know, new people, clients, et cetera, because if you can pick up on the little things and the nuances, that can differentiate you from others. And showing personality, so much of business is done because of fit and comfort. And do I trust this person? So if you are genuine and show personality, that can help differentiate a bit too. And making, you know, obviously making sure your personal brand, kind of we were talking about, is consistent and sharp. But I think it's the little things within your brand that can really differentiate you from other people. And this is going to sound like really, really in the weeds, but it's the kinds of things that really differentiate people. And I think you probably think about this too when you're thinking about new clients and new business, is if you're, you know, being on time or early to meetings, not being late and not rescheduling things, you know, always meeting deadlines, or just in general, always do what you say you're going to do with really strong follow-up, going the extra mile. I know they sound a little cliche, but those are really things that make you stand out, because a lot of people say they do those things and they don't. So I think between all those things, that's a way to differentiate yourself, you know, whether you're an attorney or you're, you know, any other kind of service provider.
Those are great, great tips. And I especially like the one about listening, because I find that a lot of people, they don't really listen to you, right? They just want to say what they want to say. They want to get it out. And it's such a missed opportunity, because when you listen, you can find, you know, a specific angle or even a specific way that you might be able to be helpful, even if it doesn't mean that you're going to get business right away, right? So
Exactly. Totally
love that. Yep.
Exactly. And it's the not getting business right away. Because if you think it and you try to force that, then the chances are much smaller. But if you really listen to a person, then they're going to develop that, you know, trust, et cetera, and it'll build over time. Yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. But before we go, is there one actionable takeaway that you can leave with our audience, something that you didn't talk about or something you'd like to mention?
I think it's maybe building on one thing that I said is, you know, your LinkedIn profile, keeping that updated and current, it will really, really do you a lot of good. You know, LinkedIn years ago, people thought of it just as a job search tool. Now it's essential for every professional, and it's a really easy way for you to increase your visibility, enables good follow-up after meeting new people, but making sure your profile's current. So, and when I say current, you know, yes, you know, current headshot and updated headline and summary and current work experience, what you're doing now. If you've changed firms or started your own, you want to make sure you include that and not just list a firm name, because remember, people can't, you know, unless it's one of the really big ones. And even then, you know, every firm does so much these days. you want to talk about your specialty so people know, so you come up in searches, but also make sure there's a dimension to your profile that shows some kind of personality. So again, you know, kind of adding to what we talked about, how do you stand out and differentiate yourself from everyone else by having a little bit of personality, and so someone can see who you are and what your background is and what you bring to the table. But then what's great about LinkedIn is you can add a few other things that really add dimension that could be, you know, levers for people to continue conversations, whether it's board positions you hold or volunteer roles, or if you write articles, if you've earned any awards, or, you know, even organizations that you're a member of. Those are kinds of things that show dimension versus just, you know, I'm an attorney at this place, I went to this law school, and that's it. This way, it gives a little bit more color to who you are, and I think can be really helpful.
I love it. So I think what I'm going to want to do, because you clearly know a lot about LinkedIn, is maybe we'll have you on the show, you know, in the near future so that we can get you back here and you can talk more about LinkedIn, because I think it's something that a lot of lawyers need to learn, and clearly you're an expert at it. So if you're okay with it, I'd love to have you back.
I'd love to, Guy. That would be great. I'd love to. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And for all our listeners, thank you so much for listening to the episode today. If you want to make sure that you don't miss any future podcasts, you can go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. And there you can subscribe so that you don't miss any future podcasts, as well as listen to some of the great podcasts that we've done in the past. And that's all for today. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much, Guy. Take care.